Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today? Good, good. Wanted to say hi to all of you at our different locations. We're so glad that you're joining us today. And as Jenny just introduced, we have Pastor Todd Nishimura with us. And yeah, thank you for the clap for him. Awesome to have him on our team. Some of you have met Todd, but for those who haven't, let me introduce him to you. So Todd was born and raised on Oahu. He graduated from McKinley High School. We won't hold that against him. And he then went on to UH, got his master's in education. And you were telling me this week what you did after you got your master's. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, after I graduated, I taught at Kalani for a few years. And then after that, I had an opportunity to study abroad in Japan, as well as teach English at a university there. So I ended up staying quite a while. I was there for almost 5 years.
Wow, 5 years in Japan. So then you must have learned Japanese quite well.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah? Well, prove it, Brad. Tell us something in Japanese. Let's hear it.
How about, Dave-sensei to New Hope Winward de hoshi surukoto tanushimi ni shite masu.
Oh, wow. I heard Sensei Dave. I was like, oh, that's right. Let me guess what you just said. So you said, I'm really thankful to work at New Hope Windward because I have the amazing blessing and privilege to work with Dave Barr.
Close. I said, I'm really blessed to work at New Hope Leeward, but this Pastor Dave guy, kind of big-headed.
So New Hope Leeward, huh? You're blessed to work at
New Hope Leeward. New Hope Windward, sorry.
I think after that comment, you're going to work at New Hope Leeward. In fact, how do you say in Japanese, I just got fired? Oh, that's funny. So tell us, you then moved back to Hawaii and tell us a little bit about just what you did once you got back to Hawaii. Because you got involved with New Hope, so
yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So I started going to New Hope Oahu, and I started volunteering in a ministry called Extreme, and that's where I first met Pastor Mike Lewin. And shortly after that, he got sent out to plant New Hope Leeward. That's where that came from. And I joined him. And so we did that. And, you know, what's funny is we basically had no clue what we were doing. But the amazing thing is that God did. And the church just took off. And early on, I jumped on staff. And so I was there for almost 12 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Todd served at New Hope Leeward as one of the pastors on the team there, and he was actually one of the campus pastors for years, and he was the campus pastor of one of the largest New Hope campuses on the island, got a lot of valuable experience doing that, and then you were also the pastor of the weekend services, which he'll be doing for us here at New Hope Windward. So he just brings a wealth of great experience working at New Hope, and just awesome that God brought you to our team. So then, you're married to your wife, Kelly, so tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, so my wife, Kelly, and I have been married for about 8 years. And you know, if you ever get to know my wife, she just has this amazing heart of gold. And I married up for sure. And I'm saying that because she might be sitting in the audience somewhere. No. She really is just an amazing wife, and I'm super blessed. Yeah.
Yeah, she is truly a blessing. Hopefully you get a chance to meet her. She has a heart of gold. And so, New Hope, would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Todd and his wife, Kelly Nishimura? We're so glad to have him with us. Awesome, man. Well, let's dive into the message. So, you know, one of the many things I love about our church is that we're multi-generational. I mean, we have people of all ages here, from birth to literally in the 90s on up. And what's cool is we also have a lot of younger people in our church, people who are in their teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s, etc. And so I want to just do a survey to all of you at our different locations. On the count of three, I want you to go woohoo if you are in your teens, your 20s, your 30s, or your 40s. Okay? Just go woohoo. On count of three, one, two, three.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. Little weak there. I think the younger crowd is sleeping in. All right. And then, how many of you would say that you are in your second half of life, you're a kapuna like Todd?
Take it easy. I'm not that old.
No can lie, bro. You know, you're older than me.
Bro, you're only 3 years younger than me, even if you do look 10 years older. Better get him some Geritol.
That's a good comeback. But you're still older. So, but yeah, back to our survey. So how many of you at our different locations are 50 years or older on the count of three? One, two, three, 50 or older? Oh, she's one octogenarian church, right? Like, old. Okay, I'm in that category too, and so is Todd. So for those of us in the second half of our lives, we want to take you down memory lane to some shows that we watched when we were younger. Now, those of you who are younger and you're into Snapchat, like you love Snapchat, just hang with us because you won't even know what these shows are all about, okay? So here are the shows. Take a look at this. Do you guys remember this show? The Love Boat. All right. How about this one right here? Fantasy Island? Oh, yeah. You guys remember Tattoo? Remember his famous phrase? The plane! The plane!
You almost do that too good.
It's because I watched it 1,000 times.
Okay, how about this one? How many of you remember Happy Days?
Yeah.
Remember Bonds?
Come okay. on.
Now, how about this one? How about the Partridge Family? Yeah? Yeah? And then the Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Remember the theme song to the Brady Bunch? Here's a story. Sing it with me. Of a lovely lady who was with. Okay, their memories are a little fuzzy at this age, but that's okay.
Okay, let's bring it down to the local level. How many grew up watching Kikaida and Kikaida 01?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Chiro Chenji Kikaida. Okay, some of you know it, some of you don't. Leave me hanging.
Okay, so remember back then when we wanted to watch these shows? Okay. The first thing you had to do is find out when the show was going to be on TV, right? So what did you look at? You looked at one of these, the TV guide. Now, for those of you who are young, this was what showed the program times. And so you'd open it up and you'd say, okay, well, I'll watch the Brady Bunch. And you'd look at the schedule, Monday at 4 p.m. Okay, Monday at 4 p.m. I got to be in front of the TV, Monday at 4 p.m. And you had to sit in front of the TV at 4 p.m. or what happened? You missed the show. And when you sat there in front of the TV, you had to sit through and watch all of the commercials. You guys remember when we had to watch commercials? Yeah, those were the rough days. So nowadays, we don't have that because we have on-demand shows.
And so obviously today we live in a completely, totally different world, right? We have all of our favorite shows available on-demand. And it's either through maybe like Netflix or Amazon Prime. And so we can basically watch as many episodes as we want, whenever we want. And whether it's not just on the TV, but whether it's on our tablet or our smartphone. And then we can watch it wherever we want, right? We can be on the go. And some of you, maybe even in the bathroom. You know, some of you like that, right?
Yeah, and if you do that, please don't raise your hand right now. So, yeah, and so what's happened is this. What a lot of people are saying is that we are living in what's called the on-demand generation, where we now can receive things on demand, where we have it right now, right here. And what can happen is that can create this attitude, this expectation, a mindset, if you will, where we expect God to do things on demand. Because we get things so quickly now. And so then we can expect God then to be an on-demand God. And so, for instance, we can pray a prayer and we're like, okay, God, why didn't you answer that? I prayed that yesterday. Why didn't you answer it today? I prayed that a week ago. Why didn't you answer that today? And so this may be your story where you prayed a prayer and God didn't answer it. For instance, maybe there was a time you asked God to save a relationship. Maybe you were a teenager and your parents were, their marriage was rocking. You're praying, oh God, save my parents' marriage. And then your parents still divorced. And you're like, God, why didn't you answer that prayer? Or maybe you've been praying for your finances to increase. And you're like, you know, God, please increase our income. And that hasn't happened yet. And you're thinking, gosh, God, like, don't you care? Or maybe you prayed for somebody for healing. And it was a good prayer, a godly prayer for somebody you deeply love. And God didn't heal them, and they passed away. And then you sit there, and you're like, God, don't you care?
Yeah, and so oftentimes what happens is when God doesn't answer our prayers or doesn't do what we think he should do, we easily get frustrated, and then we kind of start to decide, hey, you know what, so is God maybe not real, or is he not powerful enough?
Yeah.
Maybe he isn't good, or maybe he simply just doesn't care.
Yeah, it's easy to conclude things like that, and quite frankly, many people conclude that when God doesn't answer a prayer. Christians and non-Christians. I've known many Christians who stopped going to church because God didn't heal a loved one, or God didn't answer a prayer to get a job, or God didn't say yes to this other request that they desired. And so what do you do when that happens? We're actually going to talk about that today. Because if we don't figure out how to handle that and process it biblically, then we can just say, I want to believe God, but he didn't answer my prayer. And so it's kind of hard to believe he's caring and loving when he doesn't answer my prayers. So Todd and I are going to kind of walk through the Bible, some important principles from God's word on what to remember when God leaves one of your prayers unanswered. Okay? So if you're taking notes today, you're going to want to write this down. The first one I'm going to cover is it's a little bit harsh to hear, but hang with me, okay? So here's the first thing to remember when a prayer goes unanswered. Here it is. Is God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Okay, this isn't a trick question here. Okay, let's say this one more time. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. And so as you read the narrative of the Bible, you'll see over and over and over that the main character of the Bible is God. It's Jesus. And so God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Now, God will serve you, but it's important to remember when your prayers go unanswered that God's primary goal is not to serve you. God's primary goal is not to serve me. God's primary goal is that we serve him. And we like to say it this way at New Hope Windward, I was saved to serve Jesus at home, at work, and at church. Important to remember this.
Yeah. But God will definitely answer many of our prayers, but there are going to be times when God simply won't even answer some of our God-honoring prayers.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we pray, God, you know, my prayer is something that you would want, but yet why aren't you coming through?
Yeah.
And so when God doesn't come through in that way, so what do we do when that happens? Do we stop praying, or do we stop coming to church? Or do we kind of come to the conclusion, you know what, maybe God is mad or upset at me, or maybe he doesn't care. You know, that's what a lot of people kind of come to the conclusion to. But it's important for us to understand why God doesn't always say yes to all of our prayers. And that's one of the reasons, first reasons we're going to talk about. So take a look here. It says, God gives everyone the freedom to choose. God gives everyone the freedom to choose. And so one of the top reasons why some of our prayers go unanswered is because God gives everyone the freedom to choose to either obey him or disobey him. And that's something that we call free will. And because God has given everybody the freedom to choose, he's not going to force anyone to do what we've been praying for.
Right.
As well as God's not going to make anyone do what he wants them to do, because that'd be violating their free will. You know, sometimes we pray, you know, God, make my loved one stop doing drugs, or God, make my boss give me a raise. And parents often pray this, God, make my kids be more obedient. But God won't make them do it because, again, that means he would have to violate their free will and their freedom to choose.
Yeah, you know, as a pastor, many couples have told me, they're like, I'm praying for my spouse to change, but they haven't changed. And then they'll say, so why isn't God answering that prayer? I've prayed so much. And one person came to me and said, I prayed for my spouse to stop being so argumentative and so harsh with their words towards me. But they haven't stopped, Dave. Why isn't God answering that prayer? Doesn't God want that for my marriage? And my answer was, yeah, God does want that for your marriage. The Bible is really clear that God doesn't want us to speak harshly to one another and to be abusive with our words. But I told this person, but just because God wants that doesn't mean God will force that to happen with your spouse. Because when you pray a prayer that would violate your spouse's free will, God's not going to force that upon them, just like God doesn't force us to obey him as well. And so God wants your spouse to change, But God won't force your spouse to do something that's going to violate their freedom to choose. And so they said, well, then why should I keep praying then? I said, that's a great question. I said, here's why you should keep praying. Because when you pray for other people, God will often convict them. When you pray for other people, God will often arrange circumstances in that person's life to guide them and lead them to make the right decision. When you pray for other people, God will often bring another person into their life to speak into their life things that you're trying to tell them, but they're not receptive to hear. I said, so don't you stop praying, because God will do all he can do for your spouse. But in the final analysis, God will not override your spouse's freedom to choose to obey him or disobey him. Just like God won't force you or me to do what he wants us to do, he gives us freedom to choose. Does that make sense? And so one of the reasons why many of your prayers don't get answered is because the people God's working on are not responding to God's promptings. I'm going to say that again. One of the reasons why many of the prayers you're praying for other people have gone unanswered is not because God doesn't want to answer it. God's going, yeah, 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 I do want them to change. Or, yeah, 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 I do want your boss to give you a raise. And, yeah, I do want that. But they're not responding to my promptings, and I'm not going to force them to do so, because then it would violate their free will. And so years later, this person that was telling me about how they were praying for their spouse, this person came up to me and said, Dave, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? My marriage is so much better. I was like, oh, great, tell me about that. And they said, well, I kept praying. You know, we talked, and I just kept praying for years. And finally, my spouse started following God's promptings and leadings. I'm like, oh, that's great. Tell me more. And they said, well, we've sought forgiveness with one another. We've apologized for so many things that we did towards one another. We've both been learning how to manage our anger better and our conflicts. And guess what? My spouse is now coming to church. And it's just been amazing. I'm so glad I didn't stop praying and give up on believing in God. And I would encourage you, for some of you, maybe you've stopped praying for somebody because they haven't followed God. I would encourage you, don't give up. You keep praying, because you never know at that one point where they finally give in to God's workings in their life. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, when a prayer goes unanswered, just like you said, Pastor Dave, don't stop praying. You know, yeah. We take a look at James chapter 5 and verse 16, and this is kind of a really good reminder for us. It says, make this your common practice, confess your sins to each other, and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something
powerful
to be reckoned with. And so keep praying, because God can do some pretty powerful things when you and I pray.
Yeah.
There's a saying that goes, a prayerful life is a powerful life. And the flip side of that is true as well. It says, a prayerless life is a powerless life.
Yeah.
How many of you want more of God's power in your life? Would you say amen? Yeah, that's most of us, if not all of us. And so a good question to ask ourselves is, how is my prayer life? You know, and for some of us, we're going to say, you know what, my prayer life's great. It's awesome. But others of us, we're going to say, you know, hey, you know what, my prayer life could use a lot of help. And so I want to invite you to join us for something that we're going to do as a church. It's called 21 Days of Prayer. And so starting tomorrow, we as a church, we're going to pray for the next 21 days. And our team together has put together a really good prayer guide. And it has 21 scriptures that you can read that has 21 prayers. And they're short prayers that are attached to each of these scriptures. And so they're really cool and easy. So this is kind of what it's like. So we'll take this one. This scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to this purpose. And then there's a prayer right after that you can pray. It says, God, right now there are circumstances in my life that don't feel good and that I can't see an ounce of good in. Even though this is how I feel, I choose today to trust in your truth over my feelings.
Good.
Thank you for promising to bring some good out of every situation I go through, even if the situations that even the situations that seem hopeless. And so pray this prayer and don't do it just kind of a rote thing, but really put your heart into it, because when you do that, God honors the scripture that we're praying, and then he also honors the prayer that we're praying as well.
Yeah, that's so true. And you know, how long did that take Todd to do this? It was about 15 to 25 seconds. So it's like less than a minute of praying a day is all we're asking everybody to do. And I want you to notice something here is that we have 21 of these prayers, and you will actually be praying scriptures, because this prayer is praying this scripture. And there is power when you start praying numerous scriptures. So inside this book are prayers for you, prayers for your loved ones, prayers for your friends, prayers for people you work with, prayers for the government. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers get really repetitious, and I don't always pray broadly and holistically. What 21 Days of Prayer does is it gives you a real simple-to-use daily one-minute guideline to pray for all these different areas of your life, so that at the end of 21 days, you've prayed at least 21 days of scriptures in your life. And these scriptures are from all throughout the Bible. And so it's going to be really great. And one of the areas that we want you to pray during the 21 days is to pray for loved ones or friends or family or coworkers, whoever it may be, in your life that are unchurched. People who have stopped coming to church, or they've never been to church, or they drifted away from church. Isn't it true all of us have at least a coworker or more that doesn't go to church? A family member, a loved one. And so we want you to pray and say, God, how can I invest in that person and invite them to our next series called Overcomer? God, I'm going to pray for them every day for 21 days. I'm going to pray for two people. You know, maybe it's, I don't know, whoever the person is in your life, but I want you to actually think about this, all of our locations. Think about two people in your life that don't go to church, that you could pray for 21 days. Listen, the last time, years ago, our church did this for 21 days, and we started praying for people who are unchurched. At the end of 21 days, 1 week later, when we launched the series, 200 more people started coming to church.
Awesome.
People that Jesus died for. People that, for many of us, we'd been praying for years for them to come to God. And so when you pray, a prayerful life is a powerful life. And so I want to encourage all of you to join us for 21 Days of Prayer. Todd, tell us how we can get this free booklet.
Yeah, there are a couple ways that you can get it. One is if you are currently in a small group, or you're going to be in a small group this coming month, and I want to encourage you to be a part of a small group. That'd be awesome. This prayer guide is actually going to be in your small group book. The other way is if for some reason you can't be in a small group with us this month, then we printed copies of just the prayer guide that you can pick up. And both of these are going to be available at guest services at all of your locations.
Yeah. Now, I want you to just stop and think about this. Imagine if all of us committed, starting tomorrow, to pray for 1 minute or more for 21 days. Stop and think about it. That's close to 2,000 people if you include everybody joining us online in all of our different locations. What if 2,000 people committed to humble themselves and say, God, I need your power. And so I'm going to pray these scriptures, and I'm going to pray not just for myself, but for all these other people. I'm going to pray for two people that have drifted from you or have never known you. Can you imagine if over 2,000 of us were praying as a group together for 21 days what God could do? Imagine the power release. Imagine the life change. Imagine the relationships that would start to get more healing. Imagine the job blessings. Imagine the financial blessings. I'm telling you, when a group of people this big start praying, God moves mountains. So New Hope, 21 days, you all in?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, good job. About 10 of you. Okay, so we'll work on you. We'll work on them, okay? This is 8:30. You know, these guys slept in from the 7 a.m.
They're still
service.
Sleeping.
They're still waking up. It's okay. All right. So when God leaves a prayer unanswered, you want to remember that God gives people the freedom to choose, and you want to keep praying. And then if you're taking notes, here's another thing you want to remember, and here it is that God has a better plan. And so sometimes God says no to your prayer request because he says, listen, I'm not saying no to it. I'm saying yes, but I'm just going to answer the prayer request in a different way, in a way that you're not praying. and in different timing. So I'm not saying no. It's just I have a better plan than what you're praying. And I've seen this over and over in my life. Anyway, isn't it true? Haven't you prayed for things in the past where you said, I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer? Anybody? Just go to your high school reunion. You'd be like, oh, God, thank you. I didn't marry that person. I was praying that they would marry me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So
I'm kind of passionate about that.
I know. Well, that's how I felt at my last reunion. So years ago, I was dating this woman, a Christian gal, and a wonderful person. And she and I were so confident we were going to get married. We started talking about getting married. We were super excited. And then one day I realized, man, I need to pray about this. And so I'll never forget, I got on my knees in my apartment, and I said, God, thank you so much for just the blessing of this relationship. And God, you know, I'm so confident you want us to get married. And so I just wanted to say, if for some reason you don't want me to marry her, go ahead and close the door. I give you permission. like God needs my permission. And I just said, but thank you so much. And I ended the prayer, and I just thought there's no way he'd close the door. And you know what happened? Within a week, we broke up. And we were both surprised. And my heart was crushed. Her heart was crushed even more. And that's the way I remember it. And I kept saying, God, why? Why did you shut the door? Like, she's a Christian. We get along so great, you know? And what I didn't know is what God knew, was that he was going to move me to another state later on down the road, and I was going to meet a woman named Lisa Williamson, who was going to become completely infatuated with me. And we started dating, and she eventually became my wife. And, you know, I look back and I was like, God, thank you so much for closing the door. That other gal is a wonderful person, but Lisa is a much better fit for me and God's plans for our lives. And so I was so thankful that God closed that door. And I've often thought, man, what if God wouldn't have closed the door? I mean, Lisa would have missed out on the greatest blessing of her life.
And now we've got to pray really hard for Lisa because now she has to put up with you, right?
True. And now you got to pray for Todd because he's really going to lose his job.
It's pretty fast one over there, yeah?
It's been great working with you for a month. No. And, you know, and all kidding aside, Lisa's been a huge blessing for me. Aren't you glad that God says no to some of your prayer requests? At the time, it doesn't always make sense. But I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, we will sit there and I just know this. We're going to look back and go, thank you, God. Even the times when it didn't make sense, it makes sense now. Yep. And so you keep choosing to trust God. Yeah?
Yeah. And God says no sometimes, and he's going to do that because he really does have, like you said, a better plan. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, really reminds us about how vast God's knowledge, his wisdom is compared to ours. And it says, this plan of mine is not what you would work out, neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. And so God doesn't just have one way. God has many ways. Yeah. Because he's God, his options are unlimited.
Yeah.
And so he's going to sometimes say no to our prayers because he just simply has, like Pastor Zave said, a way better plan than what you and I can dream up for ourselves. Amen?
That's so true. Yeah. So true. So the next time a prayer goes unanswered, remember this. God gives everyone the freedom to choose. Just remind yourself of that. And then remind yourself that God can have a better plan. And lastly, write this down. When God says no, this is so important, don't miss this, is that God will supply me the grace to handle his no. In other words, God will give you the power, the strength you need to handle it when he says no to one of your prayer requests. Because grace, you know what grace is? It means numerous things, but in this passage we're about to look at, grace means power. And so grace is the power God will give you to handle pain. Grace is the power God will supply you to handle difficult circumstances. Grace is the power God will provide to help you do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing. And sometimes God says no, but he says, listen, I'm saying no to your request, but I'm not saying no to supplying you the power. I will supply you what you need to help you get through what you're going through. Can I hear an amen for that? And so we see this in the Apostle Paul's life. Paul shares about a time he was in pain. We don't know what the pain was. We think it's physical pain. Could have been a disability. Could have been depression, anxiety. We don't know. He called it a thorn in his flesh. It was painful. And Paul begged God multiple times to take away the pain. And what did God say? No. He said, no. I'm not going to take it away, Paul. Look at what he says here. Three different times, Paul says, I begged God to take away this pain. And each time God said, Paul, my grace, my power, my strength, it's all you need. My power, Paul, works best when you are weak. So here's one of the difficult things of life, is that in God's economy, when you are weak, he is strong. We don't like being weak. Do you like feeling weak? I don't like feeling weak. But there are times when God said no to so many of my prayer requests. And there's times when I'm in that pain, emotional pain, physical pain, difficulty pain. And I just remind myself of these words. And I just say, God, when I'm weak, you're strong. God, I'm weak. When I'm weak, you're strong. So I'm going to boast about my weakness right now, God. Thank you for the strength to sustain me, to help me get through what I'm going through. And it changes your mindset from self-pity to trusting in God. You move from being faithless to faithful. It's hard to do, but it's a godly thing to do, and it can bless you. Now, Todd, you were telling me this week about something you've prayed for years, like since you were a kid, that God has said no to, and how that impacts your life.
For a super long time, I've really struggled with insomnia. So almost every night, I'm up, you know, I can't sleep. And it's just, I get these sleepless nights where I'm just up all night. And I'm trying to sleep, and I just can't. And, you know, after you go through that, you know, week after week, month after month, year after year, you know, it just weighs on you.
Yeah, you're fatigued.
Yeah, it's super. And so, you know, when I wake up the next morning, so I got to go to sleep really early to try to make up for the hours that I'm going to lose. And then I wake up and I'm still tired. I'm exhausted. Yeah. And it just wipes you out. And so I tried all kinds of things. You know, I've gone to my doctor. I've gotten prescription sleep meds. That didn't work. I've tried these mental relaxation exercises. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes I listen to these meditation audio recordings, you know. And again, I still go through the struggle. And it's rough, you know. I mean, you name it, I've done it. But I still go through this struggle. And so, man, just like Paul, you know, I beg God hundreds of times to say, God, you know, can you do something about it? You know, why don't you heal me in this area? And I still face this struggle till today. But you know what I found is that just like Paul, you know, when you're in your moment of weakness and when I'm, you know, tired and exhausted and just going through my day trying to get through, that really it's in that point of weakness that I really rely a lot more on God, you know. And so those nights where I'm up late at night and I'm kind of tossing and turning and I'm lying in bed, you know, I'm leaning on God. And the only thing I can do is really pray in my bed quietly because my wife next to me, she's zonked out. She's fast asleep and I'm jealous, you know. I'm like, oh, man, if I could only have that.
Right.
You know, but in that point of weakness, I realized that, you know, I'm glad that God did that because in a way, it reminds me I'm not Superman. I can't do it all. And that in those weak moments, God is strong for me. He's my strength,
yeah.
You know, and that I rely less on me and what I can do and more on him and his power and what he can do. You know, it's his grace and his grace alone that I just lean on to get through. And he's gotten me through till today. And every single day, I'm abiding and pressing into his power, not mine at all.
Yeah, I mean, people who've never struggled with insomnia don't always understand how incredibly difficult it is. And, I mean, that must force you to have to lean on him sometimes, like, moment by moment throughout the day because you're so exhausted, yet you still have to work. And
I have to work with you, Pastor Ray. God, give me the strength.
And so, you know, what a great example of how God will supply the grace to help you get through what you're going through. Because you've struggled with this for years, and yet God has used you powerfully in so many ways to lead and minister to literally thousands and thousands of people in Hawaii and beyond. And yet you've had that weakness, that struggle, that thorn in your flesh. And so let me ask you, what's your thorn in the flesh? What's the area of weakness that you've begged God to change? And he said, I'm not going to take that away, but my grace is going to be sufficient for you. Just know that when you're weak, he is strong. And when he is strong, let me tell you, so many better things happen than when we're strong. And so next time you're feeling weak, next time God's saying no, don't define it as bad. It's not always bad. It can be painful. It can be frustrating. It can be difficult. I'll give you that. I've got a lot of that in my life. But it's not always bad. See, God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. We were saved to serve Jesus. And sometimes God's not saying no to your prayer request. It's just that he's given freedom to choose to the person you're praying for. And they're not responding to his leadings. But don't you stop praying. You keep praying for them because you never know. It may take 1 year. It may take 10 years. It may take 20 or more. But you keep praying for them because when you pray, God convicts, God nudges, God rearranges circumstances. God will do all he can to help that person you're praying for change. Don't you give up. And you remember when he says no, okay, God, maybe you've got a better plan than I have. And I'm going to trust you in this, even though I don't see that better plan. I'm going to trust you because you know the future. You know my life. You know what's best for me. I'm going to choose to trust in your goodness, God. And when you say no, thank you that you will give me the grace, the power, the strength I need to sustain me, to help me get through what I'm going through. You see the different way of processing when God says no? It can move you from grumbling to gratitude, from faithless to faithful, from God doesn't care to God, you do care and you are with me. And so let's do that, New Hope. Let's pray for 21 days. Let's watch what God's going to do. And when God says no, let's practice what he taught us today. Watch how he's going to help you process that in a great way. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I want to pray for you at all of our locations. If you would just bow your heads with me. Let's go ahead and just take a few moments to allow this to sink into our lives and our hearts. So let's pray. Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt there are many of us here who have many prayers you've answered and many prayers you've said no to. God, thank you that you promise to give us the grace to sustain us, to handle the times you say no. And so Jesus, right now, I want to just pray for everybody at all locations. I pray for those who are going through relational problems, financial problems, job problems, physical problems. I pray for more of your grace, God, more of your power, more of your strength, more of your comfort. God, just pour it out far beyond right now. Thank you for promising to give us the grace to handle it. And God, we're reminded we don't exist to have you serve us. We exist to serve you. And so Jesus, we're saved to serve you at home, at work, in our communities, in our church. We commit to that, Lord. And Father, thank you for reminding us that sometimes you want to answer a prayer, but you've simply given everybody a freedom to choose. And some people are ignoring your leadings. But God, we're not going to stop praying for them. We're not going to stop believing. Thank you for the ways you nudge and convict and guide and arrange circumstances. Thank you for all you do to try to help people without crossing their free will. Thank you, God. And God, remind us there are times you have a better plan. We can't see everything like you. Your ways are higher than ours. And thank you, you have many ways to handle things. Thank you. So, Lord, as we head into 21 days of prayer, guide us in how you want us to pray through the prayer guide and beyond. We're really excited to see what you're going to do as a result of that. With everybody's heads bowed, the first step to having more prayers answered is to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that before, I want to give you a chance to do that. I want to give you a chance to invite him into your life. And so we're going to pray a prayer. And if you'd like to join us in that, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. So church family, let's pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus Christ, I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Fill me with your spirit. Be my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, when you say no, help me to want you more than anything. In Jesus' name I pray.
To you could wave your hand, spare me this heartache and change your plan. And I know any second you could take my pain away. But even if you don't, I pray, help me want the healing more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. You know more than anyone that my flesh is weak. And you know I give for a remedy, and I'll ask a thousand more times to set me free today. Oh, but even if you don't, I pray, help me want the healing more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the Savior. Jesus, help me want you more.